2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 12, these are God's words. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So far the reading of the Word of God. So he is telling Timothy that he is not ashamed, and that Timothy is not to be ashamed either. And he takes the part that we have, and he places it within God's plans for redemption in Jesus from before eternity began, or before time began, rather, until the great and last day, in which it is all fulfilled, in the second coming and the judgment, and then especially the everlasting glory in the new heavens and the new earth that comes in that day. And he says, when you are suffering in a particular day or a particular time or a particular moment of your life, what you need to do is take that day, that time, that moment, that suffering, and place it in the proper context. That God, who, according to verse 9, saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So he says, the fact that we were saved, not by what we do, not even by our decision, but by a decision that God made before time began, about an action that God would do in time. And he says it has now appeared, has now been revealed, rather, in verse 10, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. It says the fact that we're saved this way, not by our decision or what we do, but by God's purpose to do what he would do. That means that what we suffer in any moment of our lives is in the middle of a glorious plan that can never be undone. Something that must work. Even more than that, if our suffering is for doing good. In Paul's case, it was, he has been appointed for this gospel in which Jesus has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. So that's what Jesus did. What does Paul do? To which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And Paul is not ashamed. Well, what is Timothy supposed to do? Well, back up to verse 8. Timothy is supposed to give the testimony of our Lord. He's supposed to preach and teach the word of God about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are people who are saying, look at what that got Paul. He's in prison. And Paul says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel. So, Jesus's part, of course, was to abolish death. We couldn't do that. He brought life and immortality, but he gives us the privilege of participating in his work. Paul had the great privilege of being the apostle to the Gentiles. I'm not going to get that privilege. Timothy had the privilege of being pastor for the Ephesian church and to preach faithfully and boldly and not be ashamed when time came to suffer for that. Well, I actually get something like that. It's kind of exciting for me to read this passage as a pastor and to say, oh, when I suffer for patiently, steadily preaching the testimony of our Lord Jesus, I actually have the same privilege that Timothy has here. But you each have a part. There's suffering for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's suffering for not trusting in or giving homage and honor to the idols of this world. They're suffering for testifying, giving an answer for the hope that you have. They're suffering for walking according to God's law in a culture where they call good evil, even while they're calling evil good, and then you do what's good and they call you evil. But whatever part the Lord has given you in this work of redeeming sinners through Jesus Christ, if you suffer for it, that's a privilege. Don't be ashamed of it, because God, who powerfully saved us through Jesus, is the one who is powerfully helping you not be ashamed during the suffering. Did you notice that about the power of God in verse 8? Share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. There are a bunch of false teachers in the church who say, you don't believe your God is powerful if you think suffering is okay. You should have more faith to know that you won't suffer so that what you declare will happen. And according to the power of God, you can never suffer. That's false teaching. The apostle here says, according to the power of God, you can suffer without being ashamed. You can have faith in the midst of suffering, and even joy in the midst of suffering. And that's what the power of God is for. Not keeping us from suffering, but keeping us in suffering and keeping us through suffering, as we have a privilege with Jesus of suffering in part of God's plan. And he who planned it, and he who has accomplished it in his cross, and he who sustains us, he's going to make fruitful our service to him that's done in dependence upon him to begin with. He's going to make that fruitful until in the last day he will have done all things well. And God willing, by the help of his Spirit, he will have sustained us in doing well the part that we are privileged to have, even if it is just believing and walking with him and suffering for the sake of believing and walking with him. Nevertheless, says the apostle, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, who he is, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what he will do, who he is and his power and his faithfulness. I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. So my dear children, whenever in God's providence it is time for you to suffer, two huge things to keep in mind. One, that put your moment, your day of suffering in context, in its place between God's plan from before time began and the last day when it will have all been completed. And then remember that at the center of that is Jesus, crucified, died, and risen. He has abolished death. It's defeated and brought to life light and immortality. Whatever you are suffering for, if you suffer by faith in Jesus Christ, you may know that certainly it is bearing the planned fruit, and you need not be ashamed or discouraged, but can instead rejoice. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this portion of your word. Thank you for the faith that your Spirit worked in the apostle, that he was able to live this way, and that Timothy had the opportunity to see and understand what lived out faith in Jesus looks like. Thank you for the way you sustained Timothy and many other pastors and many, many, many other ordinary Christians who walked with you by that faith, in which they know you and they know your ability and they know your faithfulness. And so they were able to suffer well without being ashamed, but confident and rejoicing. We pray that you would help us to know you, and to know your ability, and to know your faithfulness, that we might cling to the cross and know that your purposes from before time will be fulfilled when time has come to its conclusion. Grant to us to walk with you by faith, that we would not be ashamed, but we would be confident and rejoice even in the midst of suffering. O Lord, grant that we might have revival in our land. And yet, Lord, if not, if There are days with comparatively great suffering for Christians ahead of my children. I pray that your Spirit will make this passage which they have heard to bear its marvelous fruit in them. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.